We're talking about not assuming the gospel. I want to make sure that we all understand what we talk about when we talk about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Okay, we're not talking about going to church and being highly religious people. That's not what we're talking about when we talk about the gospel. We're talking about the fact that we are all sinners. Every one of us are sinners. And because we're sinners, the Bible says that we're enemies of God. Man, our sin has made us an enemy with God. And God loves us, okay? In spite of our sin, He loved us so much, John 3:16, that He sent His one and only Son to us. And whoever will believe in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life. And though we're all sinners, God loves us. And we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The cost or the wages of that sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Man, a great thought. Romans 5 says that God has demonstrated His love for us and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And promises us in Romans chapter 10 that if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised Him from the dead, we will be saved. For it is with the heart that one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. In Romans 10:13, great promise that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So we talk about the gospel. We're talking about the fact that all of us are sinners. Every one of us are sinners, and every one of us need a Savior. And God has sent one. His Son, Jesus, came to earth, lived a sinless life, died a sinner's death, was buried, and was raised on the third day, so that if we will trust in Him, we can live eternally with Him in heaven. Okay, you got that? That is the gospel, not going to church and being Southern Baptist, right? That is not the gospel. That is not it at all. So we talk about assuming the gospel. Two dangers, then some application. Number one is assuming that people already know and understand. There's a big danger in assuming that people already know and understand the gospel. I think, man, we assume that. Maybe we wouldn't say that we assume it, but with our actions, we absolutely assume it. Because we've all got friends, coworkers, neighbors who we say, well, I don't know where he stands with God, but he sure is a nice guy. All right? Or heaven forbid, I had a guy say this to me one time about a neighbor. I thought this was incriminating, but he said, well, I got a neighbor, he don't go to church or anything, but he sure does keep his grass cut. Really? You're going to judge his eternal state by the length of his grass? I mean, really, that's where we're going with that? See, I mean, when we don't talk to people about Christ, when we are not comfortable going and sharing with them about Christ, we are assuming that they already know, or we're at least assuming somebody else is going to talk to them about it. And the fact is, God has given all of us a responsibility. It tells us there in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, He's a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come. And all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to Himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespass against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are Christ's ambassadors, or ambassadors for Christ, God making His appeal through us. We implore you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, He made Him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. Huge verse. Go back to verse 17. Therefore, if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. When Jesus died for us, He did not die to make us a higher moral version of ourselves. He died to make us new creatures, right? Make us new creations, because we're not just, Jesus didn't die so that we would come to church. He didn't die so we would drink less or not cheat on our taxes. He died to make us new creatures, man, to make us new. And so we don't, who cares how moral our Uncle Bill is, all right? Does he know Jesus? That's the question. And I think, sadly, we assume the gospel so many times when it comes. We assume that they've already heard or they already know. But the truth is, in Tuscaloosa County, you know, 65% of people that live in Tuscaloosa County are not actively involved in a church of any kind. 65%. That's not counting the percentage that are involved in the church that don't know Jesus, all right? There's probably a lot of those too, right? Amen? We cannot assume the gospel with people. And we also cannot assume that it's somebody else is going to take care of it. Read back down here in verse 18. It says, all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. For every single one of us that God has brought back into harmony with himself, those of us who know Christ, he has given the ministry of seeing other people come to faith in Christ. You can't wait for somebody else to do it. God has given every one of us a responsibility. So one huge danger is assuming that the gospel is something that people already know and understand. Danger number two, I think really, really important in our lives, is assuming that once we trust Christ, the gospel no longer has meaning in our life. Because here's what we do, church. We say, well, I've already done that. I prayed the prayer. I signed the card. I even got wet. I got baptized, all right? I'm done with that. The gospel has already done what it's going to do in our lives. When the truth is, the gospel is something that we need to be preaching to ourselves every single day. All right. Jesus said, anyone want to come after me? Let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. Man, it's something I've got to remember every day that in and of myself, I'm never going to do this right. I'm never going to be able to make it. I need Christ I need the power of the work of Christ in me every single day or I'm going to fail. And I think Paul saw that as well, because in every one of Paul's letters, every single letter, Paul is preaching the gospel. And let me ask you this. Who are the letters in the New Testament written to? The church. Written to the church. All right. He's writing this to church people. He's writing this to people who are a part of the bride of Christ, and he is always preaching the gospel to them. You don't believe me? Let's read Romans 1. It says, I am under obligation both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and the foolish. So I am eager to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Galatians 1. And I love Galatians because Paul is ticked in Galatians, all right? He is, if you want to read like raw emotion, go read Galatians. He's mad because these people they've deserted the gospel. They've quit trying to live life and see people saved by faith in Jesus Christ. They've went back to a religious system thinking you got to do this first, you got to do this. Paul's mad, and you get that in Galatians 1, 6. He says, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Now that there is one, but some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. Verse 8, read this to your Mormon friends. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed or eternally condemned. As I have said before, and I'll say it again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to one we received, let him be accursed. And Paul's going to go forward in Galatians and talk about the gospel, talk about the need for the gospel. Philippians chapter 1, some indeed preach Christ from envy or rivalry, others of goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of rivalry, not sincerely, but thinking to afflict me in imprisonment. Paul's in prison at this time, and he says, look, all I care about is the gospel going forth. All I care about is Jesus being made known, and that's important. Back of your page there, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15, one of the great chapters on the resurrection. Paul says, now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, and in which you stand, and by which you are being saved. Now, look at that. He says, this gospel I preached to you, look at the three things he says. You received it. That's when we talk about somebody becoming a Christian. We receive the gospel. We trust Christ. Look at the second thing he says, in which you are standing, and by which you are being saved. Man, Paul never separates the gospel permeating our life forever. It's not just a one-time decision. This is something that's happening every day. We're standing in it, and by it we are being saved. If you hold fast what I preached to you, unless you have believed in vain. Verse 3, I think huge, very important verse. He says, for I deliver to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. Go back to verse 3. He says, I deliver to you as of first importance, right? Church, if we can be honest, sometimes, particularly if you've been a follower of Christ for very long, maybe a few years, or maybe some of you may have been a follower of Christ for 20, 30, 40 years. Sometimes we kind of move on from the gospel. We think, man, I understand the gospel. Now I'm going to try to understand end times. Or we say, I understand the gospel. Now I'm going to try to understand some theologies. Or I'm going to try to understand spiritual gifts. Or I'm going to try to. And what we're doing there is
we're kind of moving away from the gospel. And I love that Paul says, look, let me remind you what the most important thing is. All right. Even though those other things are important, it's important to know those things. It's important to understand Jesus in those things. He says, I deliver to you what's the most important thing, the first important, the thing that's the most important to me as Paul is what? That Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. All right. He died, he was buried, and he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, all right? And let me just encourage you. It's great to know theology. It's great to know about gifts. It's great to know about end times. But if we move away from the gospel to study end times, guess what? We've moved the wrong place, all right? If we move from the gospel to study theology, we've missed it. All right, we have got to learn about the end times in light of the gospel, okay? We learn about theology in light of Jesus. We learn about spiritual gifts in light of Christ. Not moving to those things, we learn about it in light of Christ. And Paul is very clear on that. He's talking about the resurrection here in chapter 15, and he says, the resurrection is important because the gospel is important, all right? Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. I love this, and I'm just giving you all the evidence here, okay? He's been preaching to the church at Colossae for 3 chapters now. He gets to chapter 3, the first verse. He does not assume the gospel of these people. All right, look what he says. If then you have been raised with Christ. There's an if there. I love the if here, okay? Paul's saying, look, I've told you about Jesus. You've heard all this. And if you have done this, if you have trusted Christ, then seek the things that are above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. All right? And we cannot be a church that quits preaching the gospel to ourselves. I need to be reminded every single day. I have a wonderful, smoking hot wife. She loves me for some reason. I have no clue why, okay? And some days, I'm a pretty decent husband, all right? And other days, I'm a fail blog right here, okay? I'm horrible, horrible husband. Man, I have 2 kids. They're great, all right? They really are. Our daughter is sweet and beautiful, and our son is good and don't crack some days, but he's all right. I mean, he's just a 3-year-old boy, okay? He's got like a missing tooth, and he's got scrapes all over him today because he was riding a scooter down a hill or something. I don't know. I mean, he just all the time. And I'm really good with him some days, all right? I'm real patient and loving and gracious, and, you know, I lead them in the admonition of the Lord. All right, some days I am horrible. All right, I'm screaming, I'm mad, I'm just lose it, okay? Here's the deal. The only way that I am ever going to love my wife correctly is understand that unless I love her in Christ, I won't love her correctly, all right? Unless I die to myself and understand that in me, I can't do it. I'll never love her right. Man, these kids that I've got, that God has blessed us with, and if I don't learn to die to myself and love these kids the way that Christ loves me, I'll never love them correctly, all right? That's why I need to wake up every single day and preach the gospel to myself, not to rely on me, not to rely on my self-righteousness or my works, but I rely on what Jesus has done and is doing in me. That's the only way we're ever going to get this right. Do not assume the gospel in your own life, and do not assume that people already understand it. Applying it, and then we're out, okay? How to apply this? To your friends and family, or to non-Christians, if you want to put that beside it. Man, the gospel, this good news of Jesus, it reminds us that Jesus is our only hope. Not self-righteousness and not good works, because Jesus came to destroy those. All right? My self-righteousness is never going to get me to God. Why do we believe that? Because of Romans 3. Because guess what? I'm not, my self-righteousness could get me to God. The problem is I'm not righteous. All right? The Bible says nobody's righteous, not even one. None of you are righteous. And I know you may have walked in here today and you look at all the pretty church people and you think they got their junk together. Let me tell you, they don't. All right? There's not a one of us in here that's got it together. All right? Look around. Everybody's jacked up. All right? So if you feel like you're jacked up, you're at the right place. All right? I don't know you, okay? But I know you're jacked up. All right? Because you're a sinner. Right? Can we just admit that this morning, all right? Can we just admit that Jesus is our only hope, that there's nobody righteous, not even one, no one who understands, no one who seeks after God, but for Christ we would all be our way to hell, all right? So we need to be preaching that to ourselves and also to a lost world. I've had the great opportunity to be in El Salvador a few times in the last 2 years, been the Lord's given me opportunity to go all over the world, really. And the thing that I find everywhere I go is that people are relying on themselves as a means of salvation, all right? Everywhere you go, you talk to people, you say, hey, do you believe in a God? If they say yes, you say, do you believe in heaven? And they say yes. You say, how are you going to get there? Almost everybody says, well, I just want to be a good person, all right? As long as I do more good than I do bad, then I think God's going to let me into heaven. And I was just a time in my life that just hit me between the eyes. I was sitting I was in El Salvador talking to this guy who owned a big chicken farm, fairly wealthy guy by the standards there. And he brought out the nice chairs and got me a Coke, which was awesome. And we're talking, and I asked him. He said the same thing, man. I think I'm get to heaven by being good. And I said, how's that working out for you? And he hung his head in shame. This guy said, not well, because I'm not good. And man, I put my arm around him. I said, hey man, neither am I. All right? That's why we don't trust in our goodness to get us to heaven. We trust in Christ, right? That we, on our own, we will never get to God. But verse 21 of Romans 3, but now a righteousness from God has been revealed apart from the law through faith in Jesus Christ. Man, I'm not good enough to get to God. And we need to be saying that to a lost world. Man, your righteousness is not going to get you to God because you are not righteous. And neither am I. All right, the second thing under there is that the gospel, this good news of Jesus, it removes morality as a means of justification. Now, justification is a big church word that means having a right standing before God. All right, moral people don't go to heaven. All right, people that trust Christ go to heaven. We've got to be screaming that. When we say we exist for those who are not here yet, we're saying we exist to preach the gospel to those who aren't here yet. All right? We want to love them. We want to serve them. We want to walk with them. But ultimately, we want to point them to Jesus. Because if we don't point them to Jesus, we've missed the mark. All right? So we want to scream to a world that your good works aren't going to get you to heaven, man. Only thing that can get you to heaven is Jesus. And look to ourselves. That's what we say to our friends and family. And to me, this good news of the gospel, it reminds me that when I fall, and we say, when I fall, not if I fall, all right? When I fall, because I'm going to fall, I'm going to fail. But man, when I understand that God's love for me is not based on how good of a boy or good of a girl I am, it's based on what Jesus has done for me. When I understand that, when I fall, I'm going to run to God, not from Him. I'm not going to be ashamed of myself. I'm going to run to a God who loves me and whose love for me has never been based on how well-behaved I am, all right? It's always been based on what Jesus has done. Why? Because when I trusted Christ, he gave me his righteousness and he took my sin. That's the only leg I've got to stand on. Because even on my best day, my righteous acts reek to God. Even on my best day, my righteousness is like filthy rags to God. You know, some days, I told you this earlier, I do pretty well, okay? I love my wife, okay? She's kind of looking at me like, no, you don't. But I love her pretty well. I serve her. I'll get her some coffee. You know, it's good. Playing the floor with my kids. I go to the gym and tell somebody about Jesus. I don't get mad at the lady driving in the left-hand lane going 15, okay? I memorize some scripture. I read my Bible. I live this life as if when I get to the end of the day, I'm like, you're welcome, God. I was good today. I got your back. All right? Even on that day, I reek to God, man. Even on the day that I kill it, my righteousness is filthy to God without Jesus Christ. All right? And even on my worst day, even on the days that I don't love my wife correctly and I want to run away from my kids and I do get mad at the lady and honk with my Civic, you know, it's hard to really be mad at somebody when you drive a go-kart, you know, but I go for it sometimes. I get mad at the lady because she puts mustard on my hamburger at McDonald's. And even on that day, even when I completely fail, God rejoices over me with singing as an adopted son, all right? Because my righteousness is not based on how good of a boy or good of a girl I am or you are. It's based on Jesus, all right? That when God looks at me, he sees that his son's blood has covered my sin. That's the leg that I stand on. Not me being good, not you being good, not your self-righteousness, not you acting right. It's on Jesus, all right? And because of Jesus, I do want to be obedient. Because of Jesus, I do want to love my family well. Because of Jesus, I do want to make a difference and make the gospel known, but not so that God will love me more, all right? It's false thinking. If you think that you acting right is going to make God love you more, there's nothing you will ever do to make God love you any more than he already loves you. And there's nothing that you will ever do to make God love you any less than he already loves you. He loves us. He loves us. So what do we say to a lost and dying world? We say, Jesus is our only hope. What do I say to myself? I say, man, Jesus is my only hope. All right? He's my only hope. And to us as a church at Capstone, we want to be a place where the gospel is moving and working because the gospel creates safe places for people to be open and honest. We want to be a place where it's okay to not be okay. We want to be a place where somebody can, you know, and here's why I say this, all right? Because we live in the most churched environment in the world, in the South. And it's pathetic, all right? And you're just as guilty of it as anywhere else is, all right? Because here's what happens. This happens in my house sometimes, all right? We can be in a huge fight on the way to church, right? You know, we literally are screaming at each other on the way to church. What happens when you walk in the door? Hey, how you doing? We're good. Yeah, that's right. Hey, brother, been fasting at our house, you know, whatever. Right? We act like we got it all together. Oh, my marriage is awesome. You ought to write a book on it, all right? Look at my kids, you know? We're great. We got it all together. We're liars, all right? We're liars. We want to be a church where somebody can walk in and say, look, my marriage is falling apart. And we can say, you know what? But for the grace of God, mine would be too. Come on, there's room here, all right? Somebody's struggling with an addiction. We're not going to judge you because we got the answer. It's Jesus, all right? You come in and say, my kids are jacked up. You're like, man, mine are too, man. Look at them, all right? But we're just going to walk towards Jesus with them, all right, and trust that Jesus heals and fixes and saves. We want to be a church where it's okay to not be okay. Right, we want to be a church that is screaming to our world that Jesus is your only hope because we want to be a church that's screaming to ourselves, Jesus is our only hope, all right? It's not just for them. It's for us. So we don't assume the gospel. We don't move past the gospel. We just scream, man, we're not okay. It's okay to not be okay because we have a God who loves us no matter where we're at. All right? That is what the gospel does. That is how the gospel will change us. That's how the gospel will change Tuscaloosa, and that's how the gospel will explode to the ends of the earth. Man, we are excited to be part of what God is going to do and is doing here. And we pray that that is what we're saying. Amen? So here's what we're going to do. We're going to have a time of response. And I don't know where you're at, okay? But I ask you a couple of questions. In your own life, where have you been assuming the gospel? Assuming that, well, that's not really for me. I got this figured out. I'll take care of this, God. And you just need to lay that at the foot of the cross and say, God, I repent of this. I can't do this. I can't be the man you've called me to be. I can't be the mom you've called me to be. I can't be the student you've called me to be on my own. God, I need to die to myself and live in Christ. Where are you at this morning on that? Maybe you got a friend or a family member or a coworker or a neighbor you have just been really friendly to. And they know you're a nice guy or a nice gal. But you've just assumed that they already know Jesus. You just assume they already understand the gospel. And God is reminding you this morning that you are his ambassador. God wants to make his appeal through you. And you go, why would God do that? I don't have any idea. But he does. All right? He empowers you and has gifted you and has put you in these circles of people to make Christ known. Are you doing that? Are you doing that? And maybe this morning, the Lord Spirit of God just lays somebody on your heart. Say, you know, I want you to share the gospel with them. I want you to share Christ. I want you to invest in their life. I want you to share Christ with them. Or maybe God's saying, I need you to remind yourself of the gospel this morning. I want us to bow together for a word of prayer. Maybe this morning you say, you know what, Jeremy, I've assumed the gospel in my own life in the fact that I'm just a religious person and I don't really know Jesus. I have trusted in my self-righteousness, in my morality, thinking that was going to get me to God. The Bible's very clear that that ain't happening. So this morning, the Lord may be drawing you to come to himself. He's calling you. He's showing you that you have not trusted Christ. I mean, if you want to talk to somebody about that this morning, I know Bill's here. I'm going to be here in the front too. Over on the side, man, you come talk to us. We'd love to talk to you about that. Maybe you say, you know what, Jeremy, I've got a friend or a family member that I'm going to share the gospel with this week because the Lord has laid them on my heart, and I just need you to pray for me about this. Pray that God would give me the boldness to be obedient to what he has called me to this morning. And I know that Bill would love to pray with you about that. So would I. Others, I'm sure, as well. Maybe something in your own life that you say, I got to die to myself here. I need Christ to crucify this on the cross. I need God to move in me so that he will continue to move through me. I encourage you to do what the Lord is leading you to do this morning. I don't know what that is. You might just need to spend some time with him in prayer there at your seat. You might want to come down here and pray. You might need to talk to somebody. And then you be faithful to do what the Lord is calling you to. So that to ourselves, to our church, and to our world, we can scream, all we have is Christ. But all we need is Christ. We have nothing else to offer but Jesus. But thanks be to God, he is the answer. So we're going to stand there and shout it to ourselves and to our world. Father, thank you for the great love with which you have loved us. And God, I repent of trusting in myself, of thinking that I could be clever enough or smart enough or work hard enough to be the guy you've called me to be. The way I become that man is to die so that I can live in Christ. And God, may we faithfully hold that truth high and say that nothing is going to bring us to God except Jesus. God, I pray that as we continue to respond to your word and worship, you would move. God, you would be glorified in our time. In Christ's name, amen.